Hello, everybody, and welcome back to episode 67 of Just the Fitness Tip with Michael Ujoa and Jason Auld, Edinburgh's number one fitness podcast. Jason, how are you doing today?
I'm great. I was going to say, I feel like I'm in a pit of despair, but then I realized we've got a fantastic guest with us today. And it just pulled me right out, Mitch. It just pulled me right out of that pit of despair. You could say I'm feeling a whole lot better. I couldn't think of anything.
I thought you were going to get a little Grams pun in there. So we are joined today by our good friend Lewis, who is owner/co-owner of Grams Cafe and soon to be Plant Bay. I'm going to get the name wrong again. Lewis, how are you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, we're good. I love how you kind of look slightly terrified about today.
Yeah, I don't know what to expect. I've listened to all your podcasts, and I know I get slagged every episode. So,
I mean, it's all in jest. As a side note, we are good friends with Lewis, and we also love his cafe and food. But yeah, you are the pit of a lot of jokes on this podcast, mainly because you do CrossFit.
Yeah. And I'm injured quite a bit.
I mean, I don't know why.
Yeah,
unrelated. Poor diet.
Excellent. So yeah, so you run Grams Cafe currently. I know at the time of recording, we're kind of still in slight lockdown. Gyms are about to open in Edinburgh. In Scotland. Jason is very, very happy about this. Cafes have been kind of a little bit open, depending on space and social distancing. I know that you're about to open up the cafe once again, and you're about to open a second cafe too. So I don't know if you just want to give us like a little bit of a rundown about kind of what you guys do at the moment.
Yeah, so before lockdown, we almost had like a new unit for Grams. And as soon as lockdown hit, that all sort of like went on hold for a while. And just over lockdown, we thought about what we were going to do with Haymarket. Thought we'd maybe have two Grams, but the second unit is going to be pretty massive. So we think that a lot of people will just go to that. So mm-hmm. Kind of came up the idea of like changing it into a different sort of concept. And one that we've been thinking about for a while is sort of like just doing vegetarian and vegan food. It's obviously like quite on trend at the moment, but it's not really a trend because it's just kind of the way the world's moving. Mm-hmm. And it's people are eating less and less meat, which is obviously a good thing, and we're just there to sort of aim to try and like help promote that and get people eating a sort of more plant-based diet.
So are you, this is where you're like, no, I do carnivore diet, it's all I eat. Like, are you like very plant-based with the way that you eat now, or are you not? Like, I'm sure people would want to know, like, why you started kind of like a quote-unquote health food cafe, which is mostly going to be plant-based?
Overheads.
Yeah, well, I mean, like it's not really going to concentrate as much on health food as mm-hmm. it is just like plant-based food. So like, with Grams, it's all about like whole foods, and you know, we use maple syrup. We don't try and use like absolutely no processed foods at all. I know you're laughing because you're like, it's all just sugar, whatever.
I would never say such a thing.
but like with plant-based, it's going to be, you know, we will use like, you know, sugar and things like that. It's just going to be more about like reducing meat, basically. I try and eat like a more plant-based diet, like just like slowly over the years. I feel like everyone's probably slowly eating less and less meat. Like meat-free Mondays happened, like, you know, started like a few years ago or whatever. Veganuary, you know, people are trying it out. Like I did Veganuary, and like it's not that difficult anymore. It's so easy.
It's really not. And I know we kind of have to like put it on. This is where we kind of give credit to crappy documentaries. I know we're having some slight sound issues from Jason. He's looking very puzzled, but we're going to power on like the true professionals that we are. Like dreadful. True documentary. Whoa. You might want to turn it down, Jason, because we're getting feedback.
What? A nice echo.
Is that a joke? I don't know.
No, I think I just shouted excitedly now that I'm back.
Okay, I think we're getting a slight bounce back of sound. So if you can, like, turn it down? Are you using headphones for the sound in or out? I can cut this out, don't worry.
No, leave this in. Can you hear me?
This is the most interesting bit.
This is how the sausage is made, which is a very good segue into finding out. Lewis, what I really want to know is, I'm just going to hijack this. I think it's important for the viewers as well. I think I would be remiss not to ask, where does the name Grams come from?
It's interesting that you call them viewers on a podcast.
Touché. It's because I'm looking at myself in the camera. So I was like, oh, viewers. Listeners want to know.
Yeah.
Why Grams?
I came up with like a few different names, but at the time I was very into like tracking my macros and stuff. So everything you do is like how many grams of fat, protein, carbs, how many grams of, you know, chicken are you putting on your plate, veg, etc. So yeah, just kind of happened.
I love how every time you ask these stupid questions, Jason, everyone has a really serious answer to them. That's what I love about it. It's good.
To be fair, that one was a little bit more kind of serious because if I'm honest, I thought it might be a little bit more illicit. It might be to do with how you made money at university. But I'm quite glad to hear that it's all above board.
We got a lot of people asking that.
Excuse me, mate.
But it's true. So kind of like bring you back to like the vegetarian and vegan aspects. Like I think we do have to give like a little bit of credit to crappy documentaries. Jason's laughing at me now. The different documentaries that are on Netflix that we absolutely hate, with they're full of utter nonsense, but they have kind of raised awareness about the benefits, like health benefits mainly of and environmental impact too of plant-based food. So I'm assuming that's probably like in the back of your mind.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm guessing you're chatting about, what was that Netflix documentary?
Game Changers.
And yeah, that's the one.
What the Health as well.
Yeah, Game Changers. Yeah, all these things just kind of really annoy me. Like the way they go about doing things like PETA or PETA, or whatever they're called, and like Game Changers, it's like, it's all very like cutthroat. It's just either like, you know, you're dying by eating meat and, you know, it's killing your body, etc. It's like, not really, like, just like focus more on the facts. There's enough facts out there for it to be a good enough reason to stop eating as much meat. The last 15 minutes of Game Changers was the only bit that was like worthwhile, because it was like,
I never got that far.
It was about like, it was talking more about the environmental impact, and like about, I think it was like they did a test with like firemen or something like that, and like the cholesterol and things, and like, yeah, it obviously makes like a big difference and it is good for your health. That's what we kind of want to do with plant bay. It's like, it's not sort of like shove it down your throat and eat vegetables or your shit. It's more just like, you know, try and make these
that should be your tagline.
Eat vegetables or your shit.
Yeah.
You know, it's like about making like these small changes and like trying to like, you know, get there. Because like people have this like idea where they think it's all going to change. You know, if I post something on Instagram, someone will read it and they'll change and stop eating meat. For most of the people, it doesn't work like that, you know? So you've got to like create these small changes and like kind of like slowly educate people and be like, oh, I just had like some really nice waffles at Graham's. They were totally plant-based. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, if that's plant-based, then what really am I missing that much? Mm-hmm. You know, maybe I can reduce what I'm eating.
Yeah, that is so true. Like with those documentaries, I feel like a lot of those comments just completely like delegitimize the claims that are actually beneficial within the documentary. It's really, really frustrating because there are so many like positives, like loads of benefits to going vegan or more plant-based. But because they put in all that other nonsense within the documentary, I just can't take anything that they say seriously. And then that kind of puts people off the whole plant-based / vegan approach.
Yeah. It's so annoying. And it's like this similar thing to like intermittent fasting, for example, you know, like people like swear by it. And it's like, yeah, it does make sense. Cause like you've got a smaller window to eat, but like, don't go on about it being like the best thing in the world. And it you know, it helps you, burn fat quicker and stuff like that. It's just like, just stick to the facts. Like, you've got a smaller window to eat, great,
I think that's the problem as well, isn't it? That I think a lot of people are turned off by the kind of evangelical approach that a lot of vegans have, as you say, where it's very kind of cut and dry. It's either this is the right way to eat or this is the wrong way to eat. And something that I'm quite interested in is this idea of, obviously, I don't know if we've mentioned that Lewis does CrossFit. Something I'm quite interested in is, if you do CrossFit and own a vegan restaurant, which do you tell people about first? Because obviously you want to tell everybody. I'm kidding. But it is true. Like, there's that thing, isn't there, where it's like, you kind of, if you're vegan, there's very much a kind of self-righteousness attached to it. And I'm obviously making a generalization there. I'm sure there's lots of lovely, you know, open-minded and open-minded, kind and understanding vegans out there. Hit me up at Jason Pro Unicyclist if you're one of those. But yeah, I think that's it. And I think what you're doing is quite good, Lewis, with Plant Bay. I'm cool enough to understand what it says. Unlike Mitch, who thought it was Plant B. I just had to rumble him for the under 25 crowd. But Lewis, I think I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, and the listeners would pull me up about it. Why Plant B? Plant B! Oh, no!
Rumbled.
That wasn't even a bit. Why Plant B? So is it more to do with what you're trying to say about this affectionate approach to veganism? I've just answered it for you, haven't I?
That'll do, yeah. Better than what I was going to say. Well, it's just like a sort of shortened version of plant-based. And it's just
That's good.
That is good. That's better than Lyft, I tell you that. If anybody didn't hear that, go back to the last episode. Lyft, Lyft Jim, shout out Andy, good lad. But it's called Lyft because you lift stuff, isn't it? Yeah, didn't need a focus group for that.
Thank God they didn't call it Grams. I think what you were saying about, like, you know, there's a lot of like vegans who are saying you need to eat this way, it's like do or die sort of thing. But in a way, like, they are right. It's just the way they go about it, the way that they sort of portray, they try and get across like the information, like it sometimes can be quite aggressive. Like, mm-hmm. even if you look at, like, if you look at like Peter's like Instagram, is it Peter or Peter? I think
it's Peter, but I'm not 100% sure.
I said Peter.
But if you look at their Instagram, like, I do understand that, like, what they're trying to do, and it probably works for a lot of people. But I think it has the reverse effect on loads mm-hmm. of people, and they're just like, you're pushing this too much. They just, if they had some more balance to think about them, I understand why they're doing it, and like, I guess it's good marketing. But I just think people don't respond well to that anymore.
There's two schools of thought, isn't there? It's kind of like there's the charity approach, isn't there, where people think like, oh, if you show starving children and you show kind of gratuitous imagery, it kind of shocks people into action. But a lot of the time, actually, I find that people just get, as you say, turned off by it, and they just don't want to address it. And if you're quite aggressive with your message, and if you don't leave any kind of room for conversation, then sometimes people don't even listen to you, even if you are right. So I think the perfect analogy would be more carrot, less stick.
Oh, wow.
Carrot, because of vegans. Yeah. It's funnier when you explain it.
No, it didn't work until you explained it there. Well done. Yeah. Yeah, no, it is. Yeah, it is really true. Because the same thing with like Game Changers documentary is back to that dreadful thing on Netflix. The fact that they use like Arnold Schwarzenegger as like one of the figureheads of the program when he's actually plant based, like he eats eggs for a start. I know that when he first started off kind of converting into a more plant based way of eating, he did meat free Mondays that you mentioned. He always had an article in the front section of Muscle and Fitness magazine. And he'd always kind of promote his meat-free Monday approach. And he even got like a lot of kickback from that. And I think just from the lifting circles, like we all go to the gym fairly regularly, maybe not as regularly through lockdown. Jason lives there, but
never for me.
Yeah. And I think there's just this old school thought, isn't there? Like, you need meat to get massive, or meals need to contain meat for it to be a proper meal. And it's just ridiculous. And I do like that there is a shift at the moment, even if it is only amongst kind of more millennials, and I guess the name of your new cafe kind of connects with them quite well.
Yeah, that was the kind of idea of it as well. Mm-hmm. But I think like it's just I think the reason we hadn't done something like this before is because the concept just in Edinburgh anyway just like doesn't really work. There aren't enough people who are like fully vegan, and people will turn around and say, "Oh, but you know, hundreds of thousands of people do veganuary," and it's like, "Yeah, but versus the population, that's not mm-hmm. a lot." And we just thought, yeah, I didn't think, and we've seen places open. There's like been vegan places that have opened in Edinburgh and vegetarian places, and they've not survived. But I think I think now is like a good time. I think a lot of people are much more aware of what's going on in the world, and I think like hopefully, you know, we can kind of like educate people and show them that like plant-based food is really good.
Also, all the other local cafes have gone bust.
Best
time to get out there. Only option.
Well, we actually were thinking about like closing Haymarket and just focusing on the new place, because obviously, like funds wise, that it's going to like stretch us quite a bit, especially since after lockdown, it's been for all businesses, it's like really tight at the moment. Like government grants and stuff are all good, but it's been 6 months. That's not enough money. But we just decided to like go for it. So we could definitely be one of those businesses that go bust.
You've got this podcast behind you. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. Thank God you're Edinburgh's number one fitness podcast.
This is basically the audio version of a government subsidy. Yeah. Well, so how have you been getting on during lockdown, Lewis? I know we said before the show that you basically did nothing for 3 months. Was that out of choice? Obviously, at the start of lockdown, everywhere was totally closed and there wasn't a huge amount you could do. Although I did see on Instagram that, by the way, Instagrams, that should have been your Instagram handle. Anyway, we'll talk about that later. Oh, was it? Yeah, anyway. Yeah, I saw on Instagram that you were doing a little bit of your meal prep, a little bit of your delivery stuff. Was that something that you found, for lack of a better term, wasn't worth doing in terms of how much money it was bringing in? Or was it a conscious decision just to take a step back for that amount of time?
We didn't know how long it all last. You know, we thought, you know, 2 months maybe and we'll be back. So we just thought, we'll just like close everything down. Not much of a holiday in the last like 4 years or something or any. So we just thought, we'll just close up. You know, like the government's given money, everyone's on furlough, it'll be fine. But as it went on, as you know, we're like 6 months down the line and, you know, everywhere's not fully back open yet. So we like slowly started like introducing our meal prep back in, and then we did like some like collection food, and we did a pop-up in Stockbridge just to try and like sort of keep going and like, you know, get some extra sales in and made sure people didn't forget about this sort of thing. But like it's been pretty hard to like keep everything going, but hopefully it'll all change pretty soon and we can actually get back to operating fully.
Yeah. No, it's cool. It's it's a tough time for everyone, isn't it, at the moment? Like I'm sure there's many cafes that you know that have closed, announced closures, or probably still will close by the end of this kind of lockdown period, especially if we go back into another lockdown. Like what is it? What's it like running a health food cafe in a major city? I know that might sound like a very broad question. I know. But like the fitness scene is huge. Like the meal prep is really, really busy. But what is it like running a health food cafe? I know you don't like to be called a health food cafe, actually, do you? What's the tagline of what you like Grams to be called?
No, I think health food. I don't know. I kind of have a problem with the word health.
Okay, what do you have a problem with? Go for it.
Well, just because, like, you know, some people identify healthy things as being low calorie. Other people mm-hmm. identify them as being, you know, like whole foods, things like that. Juice cleanses are healthy, you know, stuff like that. So I think like
we love them here on the show.
I thought you might, but I don't think there's like, I think everyone's got a different interpretation of the word, and so, you know, we call ourselves a health food cafe because we think we use like whole foods, but also we try and keep everything balanced with like protein, carbs, fat, you know, through like the meal prep, but also in the shop. But then also in the cafe, there's like some higher calorie things, and people view that as just like, oh, well, that's not healthy. And it just annoys me, because I just think that like healthy to me just means something that when you eat it, like does something for you. You know, like if you're eating like, you know, empty calories, as they call them, you know, like a can of Coke, it doesn't really, it's not going to fill you up and doesn't give you any sort of nutritional benefit. So like, that's like our idea of what healthy is. So I don't think people call it a healthy cafe, but like as long as they know
I actually think your tagline, which is, and correct me if I'm wrong, eat better, not less.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's the perfect summary of what you guys do, because as you say, you're not bogged down in this kind of cliche or this very like broad term of what health food might be. And as you say, one person walks into a health food cafe and might expect something completely different from somewhere else. I think it also does really kind of communicate this idea of what you were saying before about plant bay, which is this idea of you're not trying to suck the life or enjoyment out of people's eating. It's eating better, not less. It really does convey this idea that you're trying to make incremental improvement, and you're also trying not to take the fun out of it. So I think that's the perfect description.
Yeah. I mean, when we came up with that, we were like, that pretty much sums everything up perfectly. And like people will come in and we do like sort of raw like vegan cakes, and they ask for the calories, and I'll be like, oh, it's this, and they're like, oh, that's not too far off like a normal cake. And it's like, yeah, but go and eat a normal cake and then see how you feel versus eating one of these. With ours, you'll feel full and like satisfied. With like a brownie, you'll eat that and then you'll be hungry again, or it won't quite satisfy your like sweet tooth. So like for us, I think eat better, not less, just like sums it up perfectly.
So where I was leading with my original question was, I can imagine some of the stuff that people come into the cafe asking is hilarious, to put it bluntly. Like, I just kind of want to know what's like some things that you've been asked in the past that you've kind of had to like bite your tongue and think, I better not answer this.
Well, when we were starting, I probably bit my tongue quite a lot, but I wouldn't do that now.
Does that explain all the TripAdvisor reviews?
Yeah.
I'm joking. I don't know what the TripAdvisor reviews are like, so you're safe. Don't worry.
Oh, there was one person who said that our cakes tasted like feet, which is quite good.
They've just stolen that from Friends.
Yeah.
They have, haven't they?
Yeah. So, I mean, we get like people coming in and like, I mean, it'll be similar things to what you hear from like clients. People saying they're on a low carb diet and then ordering a smoothie bowl, which is basically fruit.
Yeah.
Like completely fruit. You know, stuff like that. And you try and explain it to them. And like sometimes they're not into it. It's like, well, no, my PT told me this, or I saw it on TV. So it's fact. But I'm trying to think off the top of my head now what other people ask for, but. we do get quite a lot of weird questions. Oh, like the gluten one is one that comes up all the time. People are like, have you got gluten-free this? And it's like, oh, no, sorry. And it's like, oh, it doesn't matter, I have it anyway. And it's like, well, did you need it to not be gluten-free?
Yeah, gluten is one of those, isn't it, where people just feel like because it's gluten-free, it must be healthy. I think they did a really cool study. I'm going to probably butcher the numbers and quoting of this study anyway. But they did a study with a group of people. I think it was over 1,000 participants of people that considered themselves to be gluten intolerant and did like a blind study. They didn't know what they were consuming or whether it contained gluten. And I think it was something like 3% actually had an issue with gluten. It's a very, very low number. So I think it is just a perception thing, isn't it? I think a lot of people feel like they've got many dietary requirements, or they're intolerant to certain things, when in reality, their diet is just shit and full of stuff that's going to make them feel really bad.
Yeah, I think there's that placebo effect of like, if you eat something, you just instantly think it's that. That's what happened to you. But I mean, like eating gluten, products that contain gluten does make you feel a bit like bloated. Like it just happens. But like, people take that as like, oh, I must be really intolerant to that. And So just live a little.
I think it's also what you're used to as well. A lot of people will maybe like avoid eating kind of carb heavy meals for ages, and they have a massive carby meal and then wonder why their stomach's really bloated, and then they think it's some like mysterious illness that they've got.
Yeah, and I mean because like we offer like we try and like describe ourselves as quite an inclusive cafe, because we offer like vegan food, vegetarian food, like pretty much everything's gluten-free. Most of it's dairy-free. Like if there's a sauce, we try and like make it out of cashews and things like that. And we get people coming in, they're just like, oh, is it nut-free as well? And it's like, come on, give me a break. I'm trying to make everything like as accessible as possible.
Just a bowl of ice. That's all you can eat.
Yeah. It's also joy-free.
I think that's the thing with like plant-based as well, is we, with Grams, it is quite hard to like come up with food that's, you know, made with whole foods, it's healthy in the terms of like, you know, keeping it like a relatively decent calorie count, but also trying to like have that flavor there as well. Like a lot of when you eat things when you're out is like, it's like butter and it's like sugar and things like that, even in your like sort of savory dishes. So like the thing with plant-based is a bit more going to be like, you know what, just like enjoy your food. But with Grams, I guess we're trying to say, you know, think about what you're eating and putting into your body. And it's a similar thing with plant-based, but more to do with meat than it is to do with like sugar and unhealthy like processed foods.
Mm-hmm. I think that's an interesting point, actually, because I think a lot of people don't realize, well, maybe more now after the kind of demonization of sugar. But you don't realize how much sugar is in things that might not, you know, be immediately obvious. The one that I always think of is how much sugar is in ketchup, you know? And so what you said there, I think, like, obviously there's solutions to things where you just go, oh, I'll just take out all this stuff and it'll be healthy in air quotes. But then it tastes like absolute... I feel like we said shit too many times, but I'll say absolute dog shit. We've hit the counter. We've hit them at the maximum there. But so I think that's probably been part of your challenge. I mean, it sounds like Mitch and I are always preaching this idea of sustainability, something that you can continuously do. The classic quote that I attributed to Mitch that it turns out was a lie all along, and it was someone who was much more articulate and smart. And he said, what was it, Mitch? It was like, look at the diet you're on today. Can you imagine yourself on that diet in a year's time? And if the answer is no, then it's not sustainable. I think a big part of that is obviously the enjoyment that you get from your food, and therefore, you know, whether it's tasty or not. So that must be a big hurdle for you guys to not necessarily kind of count the calories or look at the macros, although it sounds like you do that, but to also make it something that people enjoy having that hopefully doesn't taste like feet.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. It's really hard, especially if you are doing like counting macros and stuff like that. It takes a lot of time. Like you can't just like make a recipe and start chucking things in. Like, you've got to weigh everything out. Like almost all our recipes are like in grams. Like absolutely.
Is that why you're called Grams? Makes sense.
I'm wondering how many times we can fit that joke into this episode.
As many as it takes.
I'm never mentioning grams again.
But there must be, speaking of that just now, there must be a few kind of failed experiments you must have had. Is there anything that come to mind where you were trying to make something and it just really didn't taste good?
Yeah. Oh, loads of stuff. Like loads. I spend like months sometimes trying to come up with something. I tried to make vegan pancakes for about a year, and like people would send me recipes and I'd be making them and they'd be like, yeah, do you like them? I'm like, no, they're shit. There's another one. I spent absolutely ages on things, and just because you can't use, so like I'm trying to make vegan pancakes, but I'm not trying not to use flour because I want to be gluten-free, and gluten-free flour is not the same thing. You can't use eggs, obviously, and you try not to use like sugar. You try to use something else, and you try like all these different things. So pancakes is definitely one of the ones that's taken me ages. I sacked that off and just went for waffles.
The waffles are good, though. To be fair,
it's the problem with pancakes, vegan pancakes, is they don't rise and they don't stay fluffy, and that's what you want. from a pancake. That's the basic pancake. And
that's people, all I want from a pancake.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, they it is quite tricky, like especially in grams, which is kind of why like with plant-based, it should be a little bit easier to try and like use some different ingredients and have a bit more sort of variety. I mean, I've been making vegan cookies for about 5 months now. And Michael's had some. But like it takes ages, even with like unhealthy air quotes ingredients, like that does take a long time. But we're hoping like it's going to be a bit more fun with plant-based. That's the idea as well, just have like a bit more fun with it. Grams is a bit more of a source. Yeah, has a bit more of a serious vibe, you know. It's like, you know, whole foods and like eating healthy, whereas plant-based, we're hoping just to have a laugh.
You just go in, everyone's reading the Telegraph, drinking black coffee. Boring. Can't wait to go to plant-based finally for a bit of fun.
No, it's good. I'm glad that you're trying to find that balance with it, though, because you are completely right, kind of where we started with this episode, with kind of why you're starting this cafe up. Like, people do take nutrition too seriously. I think you just have to go onto like any social media page that preaches about nutrition, and everything is just so, so serious. And if someone has a differing opinion to you when it comes to nutrition, oh God, it's horrendous. Like, people are militant when it comes to their dietary approaches, especially the vegan crowd, unfortunately. I know that people are very passionate about the ethical reasons why they should go vegan, or the unrealistic or maybe just unfounded reasons why they should go vegan, the health reasons. I just feel like having a very balanced approach with it, being like, this doesn't have to be all or nothing. Come in here, have a few healthy meals, a few plant-based meals, slowly integrate it into your diet, and then maybe one day you might be ready to completely make the switch. I just feel like it's such a better and healthier way to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if someone comes to you with like a horrendous diet, you're not going to instantly strip that back. You know, you're going to say have 10 bags of crisps instead of 12 a day. Do you know what I mean? Like,
don't read your nutrition plan out, Lewis.
But like, do you know what I mean? Like, no one approaches their diet. Well, I mean, I'm quite bad for approaching my diet that way. I'll basically eat crap for a month and then diet on like 1700 calories. But I know it's bad. But like, for me, that works. Like, I like to have like fun and eat and drink, you know, when I want. So then I'll have a week of like, you know, eating a lot healthier and like less calories, and then I'll mess it all up. But I don't mind that. Do you know what I mean? I don't mind that. Where were we? slagging me up.
Yeah.
You were telling us about how many bags of crisps you eat.
Yeah. So then, I mean, that's how you'd approach your diet, you know. You would, you know, slowly start to reduce it to, it got to a point where it's sustainable. Because if you instantly change it, like, it's not gonna last. Like, when I do like reduce my calories drastically, it's just for a short period of time. Mm-hmm. And I know that. Until I'm back in the pub with Jason. And so I think
with Mitch.
I think half pints.
Anyone who's listening to the Just the Fitness Tip bingo, take that off the card.
Yeah, it is so true. Like, personally, I've switched to a more plant-based way of eating. Like, there's days now that I go, so I can't do eggs or dairy anyway, annoyingly, hence why I'm really keen for Lewis to crack this pancake recipe. And I just feel like, so I started just having like more plant-based foods within my diet. I've now started having maybe like 2 or 3 days a week where I don't eat any animal products anyway, and I now feel like it's going to be a much easier shift if I ever do kind of go fully vegan one day. Who knows? It just feels like a very sensible way to do it.
Yeah, no, I think it totally makes sense. And as I say, like, if that sort of like PETA marketing works for you, then great, you're already there. But like, this is a bit more for people that it doesn't work for, and you know, they're making these small changes in their life. And and obviously, like, for people that are fully vegan, it's perfect for them as well, because they've got another place to go in Edinburgh, and there aren't that many.
Lewis, I wanted to ask, you touched on pancakes, which might reveal the answer to this question already, but this isn't a joke, but this is a real, this is real journalism.
We're both sat here like eagerly awaiting.
Where is it going?
Yeah. No, what I was going to say was you briefed us at the start. You know when like celebs go on the radio and they're like, you can't ask him questions about his why it's called Grams, and you can't ask him questions about his love affair with this other prominent Edinburgh Health Cafe owner. You can't ask him questions about the, you know, sausage dog fighting ring that he used to run. But you said you didn't want us to ask you what your favorite dish is, because people ask you that a lot. But my question would be, what is the most popular dish in Grams? And the reason I mentioned pancakes, because I feel like that might be the answer. But if it isn't, let me know.
Yeah, it's definitely the pancakes. I think people, as soon as people like think about like health food, they want the dirtiest thing they can find that's like healthy. And so, like, the pancakes are obviously perfect. We do avocado on toast, but obviously, like, a lot of places do that, not as well as us. But the pancakes are definitely the most popular. That's the thing with, and that's why we've got the cakes as well, because I think people, you know, whether they're on a diet or they want to eat healthier, they still want the dirtiest thing possible that they can find.
I'm going to chime in here and say I don't agree with the clean and dirty terms here, but,
I can see it. I can see it. I don't agree with them either.
But everyone kind of knows what you mean when you say it, so I get it.
Yeah, it's just easier to. But it's like, because like, I mean, I think. Hold on, there's a dog behind me squeaking a toy. Yeah, you want to stop that?
What did I say about that sausage dog fighting room?
It's getting riled up for later.
Can you imagine? Can you actually imagine what's going on in Stockbridge, guys?
Oh dear. Yeah, I don't know what I'm saying.
It's fine. Pancakes. It's pancakes. Yeah, because I think, I mean, this is, we're not a kind of social media podcast, but because Mitch and I crave attention, we do spend a lot of time on social media. And I think, you know, it's something I wanted to talk about, but obviously not necessarily relevant on a health and fitness podcast. But it is quite impressive how social media has played a role in your marketing, at least, if you can use that term. Because people just take pictures every time they go, don't they?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, like, social media for, like, any small business is huge. It's free. Do you know what I mean? It's like the only bit of free marketing that you can get, apart from A-boards that now don't exist in Edinburgh. It's so good. And you can reach like thousands of people with like one post. And like, obviously we're quite a small cafe in Haymarket. And it almost makes you think like, how did small businesses get their name out? Like, because when you first start a business, you need to be busy instantly. Like, you can't afford to be sort of sitting about waiting for customers.
I remember when you guys first started up in Edinburgh, and like the buzz that was around Graham's opening was just insane. It was one of the first cafes I'd ever seen on social media that just kind of like exploded, especially in this city here. Like, everyone was talking about Graham's. And I remember you telling me when we spoke about this before that you didn't pump any money into advertising when you opened up.
Yeah, we got a big thing printed on the front of the shop that said Edinburgh's first naked cafe. Just because, like, naked's obviously a term for, if anyone doesn't know, a term for, like, food that you know, doesn't have anything processed in it.
I bet you had to explain that to a lot of customers.
Yeah, we a little disappointed people turned away, yeah.
Well, when we...
Oh, this is a naked cafe!
when we got the vinyl in, we just put it up as Edinburgh's first naked. And just left the cafe word off for a while, just to get people's imaginations going. But that obviously helped. And I basically had seen a lot of Instagram accounts from like Australia, and like our cakes, as far as I'm aware, like in Australia is kind of like where they first started making like these sort of raw vegan cakes. And if you look at their Instagram accounts, they're just like beautiful. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just art, basically. And everything's basically made for Instagram. So I just sort of took that concept and, like, ran with it here and just thought, like, if I can make everything look really pretty, if I can make these cakes look not even like cakes, you know, like something that you maybe it's too pretty to eat, then hopefully like our Instagram will just like do really well, and it's just gone quite well.
Obviously, also another huge part of promoting the business was giving out the first ever Grahams Black card, which listeners to the pod will know that was to none other than the internationally known, locally respected fitness personality. That was me. It was me.
Oh, okay.
So that was obviously did, you know, that was kind of like when Stormzy got the Nando's card, really, wasn't it? That's when your business really took off, right?
I mean, if anything, I think Stormzy sort of like, and Nando's copy does, didn't it?
I think so. Much, yeah. In all seriousness, right? The Greg's Black card that they gave to Stormzy did come out after you sent me the Grahams Black card. So, you know.
That's up their game, didn't they?
Exactly.
It is, yeah. No, it is amazing that like what you guys did with social media, I thought it was absolutely genius. This is before I knew you. Like I thought, yeah, that was then I met you, I thought, not that clever. No, honestly, like it was good. Like, because I'm the same, like a small business in Edinburgh, like my business kind of runs and thrives off social media. Like I don't put any money into advertising. And if you can get the social media game right, like everything else can just fly. And I think you guys just, yeah, you absolutely nailed it. So yeah, just say your Instagram handle so people can follow it as well. I don't want to get it wrong. That's why I'm getting you to say it.
Oh, well, so we've got at Grahams Edinburgh or at Hey Plant Bay, H-U-Y Plant Bay.
Nice.
I will say, whether me getting a Grahams Black card was a joke or not, I will never know. But I will say, when I posted that I had a Grahams Black card, I got so many messages saying, how did you get a Grahams Black card? So it was quite amusing.
I would have been really annoyed as well, because it's actually me who's always in there and I didn't get the Grahams Black card. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's all about influence, Mitch.
Oh, okay.
That's what it is. I think just to touch on social media as well, another like interesting thing about it is it helps small businesses connect a bit more. When I first started, I mean, it wasn't that long ago, but like you'd be in competition with everyone. Everyone was very like, not shady, but just like didn't really want to communicate that well. Everyone was like, oh, you'd view everyone as like a bit of a competitor. I think everyone was like that. And then because you use social media and it's like much easier to like interact with people, you sort of like build relationships that way. I think that's quite a nice use of it. Apart from all the hate that you can sometimes get.
Yeah, no, it's so true. Yeah,
she knows all about that.
I hear you. It's all good fun, isn't it? That is so true.
Cap off again.
Like, I think, it's never going anywhere. Honestly, like, I feel like most of the connections I have in Edinburgh were all made, like, through social media.
Yeah.
Like, I think, Jason, did we meet through social as well?
Yeah.
We did meet through social. Yeah.
We did.
Like, that kind of created this podcast.
In a chat room.
That's also, yeah, I did meet you through social media as well, Lewis, didn't I? I don't know how we actually ended up meeting. Who knows?
I think you just had been in, and it's one of those funny things as well where, like, because of social media, you see people about and you, like, you know a lot about them, but they don't know who you are. And especially for me where, like, I don't really post about myself that much on social media, so people don't really know who I am, but because I follow loads of people, I kind of know. So I think me and you probably knew a lot about each other, and
kind of just
started chatting on Instagram.
It's funny you say that, Lewis, isn't it? Because a lot of people think that you're actually a woman, don't they?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah,
that was my favorite story.
Yeah, the only time that I post on social media is when I'm had a couple of half pints.
So a pint.
Yeah. Just the one. And I was at a wedding and I posted and someone messaged me like, oh, I thought you were a woman. And I was like, all right, no, I'm not. And then about 60 other people posted asking me. It's funny, like I don't know, I guess it just don't associate sort of like
gender stereotypes, shocking.
Yeah, I know.
Well, here's the woman at the naked cafe. Where is she?
Yeah. Oh, so disappointed when I came out of the kitchen.
Yeah. with your clothes on.
Yeah, I think, yeah, so many companies, I feel like that maybe, I think you're actually completely right there in regards to social media, how it has changed the game in the way that businesses interact with each other. Because I think it's the same with the world of personal training and just the world of fitness in general. Everyone seems to be competing with each other. And a lot of personal trainers won't speak to each other because they fear that you're going to take their clients, or because you're there, it means less work for them. When in reality, when all these businesses that have like a great reach, really positive message to share, or they get like positive responses on social media, when they work together, it can actually just help each other to thrive. And I really wish that more businesses saw that.
Yeah, there's like so many positives, like especially like if you're talking to someone, I think a lot of people are like, when they don't have a lot of followers and they talk to someone with a lot of followers, they're like hoping to like get them to promote them a little bit. Which,
what do you mean? Like, it sounds like you said that in quite an accusatory tone. <Yeah. laughs> I'll have you know, Mitch has got loads of followers.
Almost as much as Mr. Motivator, I heard.
No. Yeah, we haven't checked his count in a while. Someone needs to do that.
Wait here. Talk amongst yourselves.
We will. But yeah, no, it's true. Yeah, like a lot of people do reach out just for that reason. And that can be a little bit shameless. But I think when you use social media in the correct way, it's such a brilliant tool to use. And I just, like, I speak to a lot of new personal trainers starting out. They'll message me on social media just for a little bit of advice. And my first thing I say is like, get using social media, and not in a way that you're just using it to try and get something back. Just provide some really cool content, some free ideas for people to use, and it can really help your business to thrive.
I've noticed that like a lot of like sort of newer businesses that are sort of came about like since we opened, or like round about the time we opened, or they're just a lot more into like communicating with you. Whereas like some of those sort of older businesses who don't use social media as much, they really don't want to talk to you. Mm-hmm. It's sort of weird because like, you're barely competing with people unless it's like the same business on the same street.
And the thing is, like, even if you have a favorite business on the street, like, you're not going to go to the same restaurant every single time. So surely, it's stupid.
Guys, Jason, I've got some breaking news here. Mitch is at 6,294 at time of recording. Mr. Motivator is pulling away 9,115, mate. He's miles ahead. He's almost got as many as Grams.
Right, Lewis, can I have a shout out after this episode?
I'll just tag you and everything.
Well. Yeah. There we go. Can we get me to more followers than Mr. Motivator? That's the mission. It's not going to happen, is it?
I'll take a shout out as well.
No, just both of you, like, nah, it's not happening.
Lewis, I guess Mitch is trying to wrap us up here. But so why don't you tell us when Grams and Plant Bay are opening, and when we can pay you a visit?
So Plant Bay should be opened the first weekend of September.
Ooh, that's really soon.
Time for my birthday.
Oh yeah, you can use that black card.
Yeah, finally. We've been closed for 6 months. Been paying for my food.
Grams is going to be a bit longer than that. It's going to take a bit of we're going to continue doing meal prep, but the new Grams won't be ready for another couple of months. We're getting builders in this week. Well, next week, sorry. And then from then, it should be probably like a month or two. But it's like a huge job. It's like an empty shell, so we're having to like build everything from scratch.
It's exciting. I went along to look at the empty shell before lockdown, actually, wasn't it, before this all kicked off, and it's a really cool space. Like, I'm so excited for you guys to open.
Yeah, it's been like a year and a half. Like, it's crazy. We found it a year and a half ago, and it's just taken so long.
And I guess we should definitely launch party if we're allowed to. But we should also mention more exciting news about a possible, I say possible, Lewis has agreed to it, so we've got him locked in to a podcast sponsor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Jason does know about this. He didn't just find out.
I wish he did just find out, and that was his response.
I wondered why you were on.
I mean, it is very good timing. Like, we have wanted you on the podcast for quite a while just to come and chat, but it's worked out quite well that this is when we're going to start kind of teaming up, and you're going to sponsor the podcast, which is really exciting.
Yeah, well, I listen to you guys quite a bit.
Thanks,
Nate. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
You can open with that. You should open with that. I've listened a lot. I've had a lot of spare time.
When life resumes, not listening at all.
Yeah, they've stopped filming any original content for Netflix, so I've just been listening to your podcast.
I'm bored of Dave, so it's the next best thing, I suppose.
Never.
Cool, but no, thank you so much for coming to the episode today, mate. One final time, if you just want to plug social media handles as well so people can find you. I'm sure everyone listening is probably following you already, but just so people can find you on social.
Yeah, it's at Hey Plant Bay or at Grounds Edinburgh.
Nice. Thank you so much for your time today, Lewis.
Thanks, Lewis.
I wish you all the best with new cafe / existing cafe. Round of applause all round. So you guys have been listening to episode 67 of Just the Fitness Tip with Mikey Joa and Jason Auld, Edinburgh's #1 fitness podcast. And we will see you all again next week.
Keep on tipping.